We are so excited this morning to have Dr. Galen Jones with us because God has been doing something special at Sanford, a renaissance of faith and commitment to preparing young people for the act of ministry. The truth is, Joe, you stole all my thunder a while ago with your children's message. Dr. Hopkins has been right in the center of this whole new movement of not just preparing kids for ministry, preparing kids to be able to speak the Word of God into the churches of Jesus Christ, to carry the Word around the world, to be thoroughly equipped to be faithful messengers of the gospel. Dr. Galen Jones was among the first faculty members who was invited and accepted the invitation to come and be part of doing this new thing that God is about at Sanford University. I wrote him the other day and just asked him for a little biographical background, and this is what he said. He said, "I've provided a biographical sketch, but please just let the people know that I love Jesus and I won't take it back." That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? Galen Jones has his doctorate from Southern Seminary. Over the course of his ministry, he has been a missionary, a church planter. He has worked with associations. He has been a pastor. And he came to Sanford from a teaching position at Oklahoma Baptist University. But most of all, he comes because he is a man of God, ready to speak the Word of God. So let's welcome Dr. Galen Jones as he comes to preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, and praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy, for his loving kindness and for how he alone has set us free from our sins. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful way to begin thinking together and begin to worship the Lord together? And I do want to say to Pastor Jim, thank you so very much for this gracious invitation to allow me to share a word of the hope that's within me, and I believe a word of the hope that's within you as well. It is also an honor to be here in the presence of my dean, Dr. Joe Hopkins. I remember when I first talked to Dr. Hopkins, it was during the interview process, and it was a little bit daunting at first, but after about 35 minutes, and we talked for probably 2 hours, it was like talking to a really, really good, close friend. And I have enjoyed that ever since. And his beautiful wife, Suzanne, and their two boys have been just such a blessing to Kathy and I. And so we thank God for being here. I do thank the Lord. The last time I was here kind of in the bachelor mode, and I did not happen to have my beautiful bride with me, but this morning I am, and you all are graced by the presence of my dear, beautiful wife, Miss Kathy Jones. So we are honored to be here. Amen. We are honored, man, to be here. I know everybody's wondering, why did Dr. Jones bring a replica of the Ark of the Covenant to church this morning? And it's interesting, too, because I'm not preaching at all on that text we went over, so nothing seems to be what it is this morning, but praise God. No, Pastor Jim asked me, and I want you to know, it's here because this ark, this replication of the Ark of the Covenant, of the mercy seat, for you is an answer to your prayers. My students have been, and this is my, I teach biblical foundations. And one of the things that they are doing, they're in teams, and they were given the assignment. We've been teaching on the tabernacle and how the tabernacle points to the gospel. And so I said, listen, part of your assignment is that you're going to have to give a gospel presentation and that represents, excuse me, one of the artifacts in the Holy of Holies, or in the most holy place. And they said, well, Dr. Jones, we need a rubric. I said, nope, all you're going to get is the instruction that I've given you, and what I want you to do is to be able to point this to the cross. And I said, last thing I said was, surprise me. And they truly, truly, truly did surprise me. One, this group did this on the, as I said, on the Ark of the Covenant. I was so pleased. After class, I cried a little bit. I wanted to bring the table of showbread that one of the teams made. They did their study on that, but we just didn't have enough to bring that one with us. One did a study on the golden lampstand, and these presentations I have made available through Pastor Cooley. He just has to get my password to open those up, but I do want to share that with you all, and to just say this, that students' hearts are being challenged and transformed, not by me, I'm just merely the agent, but the word of the living God is coming into their hearts, and their minds are being transformed, and they are growing up to the glory of God. Amen? And so you all just keep praying. You keep believing God with us, for us. I have one student come in my Old Testament class, and beautiful young girl. And she just sat down and said, Dr. Jones, after hearing you teach class this morning, I get a bit animated in class. You probably couldn't tell that, but I do. And I tell them, I said, if I start to preach and y'all still take notes, because I'm going to test you on that too. And so we were talking about what it means to go from the plan of death to the plan of life. And she came after class and said, Dr. Jones, can I talk with you? And I invited one of the other young lady ministry students to sit down with us. And she just started to cry. She said, after hearing what you had to say, I don't think I know the Lord. And just talking with her and sharing with her, she had been just doubting her salvation. And right there in 106, in BBS 106, we just shared with her God's immense love and care and concern for her. And after that moment, those moments of being together, you could just see the countenance on her face changed. And every day she comes to class, every time I see her on campus, she is beaming with the glow and the joy of the Lord. And that is a direct result of your prayers. And so I just want you to know with that the Lord is answering your prayers. So keep on praying, keep on believing, because even though we're going to talk a bit about this morning in the preached message, we're talking about a process to bless. And so if you would please, as you turn in your Bibles, let me say one other thing. The reason that text that I gave you in Mark's gospel came up, every class that I have, no matter what, invariably opens up with a student-led prayer and devotion. And one of the young ladies, Kara Turvin, opened up one of our classes, and she was talking about doubts and not being sure of Jesus. And then wanting to, because the kind of person she has this drive, and she was just saying, if Jesus isn't like where I can see him and knows him, then I'm going to take over. And she said this. She said her message that morning was, can you trust the sleeping Jesus? And I actually got and ran around the room. I mean, and y'all need to know I'm just a little bit charismatic Pentecostal. Not just a little bit. And I, you know, I ran around the room. I said, that was good. And I thought, I'm going to preach that at First Baptist. That's a good hot one. You know, I'm going to preach the hot message. That student gave it to me. And I kind of apologize because when Pastor Jim emailed me, I was thinking about it and I was working on that. But, you know, as a steward of the word and as a servant of the Most High God, I really had to stop back and pull back and say, Lord, wait a minute. That's what I want to say. What do you want to be said to your people this morning? And that happened just a little time after I emailed Pastor Jim. And so this morning, if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. We're going to go into 2 Chronicles and begin to talk about some things there. This message I'm going to preach to you this morning is from a series of messages entitled Blessings in the Valley. And our message this morning is really more entitled A Process to Bless. This story is the story of King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is one of many kings that were positioned in Judah and in Israel. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this epitaph of his, it says, and Jehoshaphat did what was right in the Lord's eyesight. One of the sad commentaries of Israel in that time, and Jehoshaphat was an 8th century king. One of the sad commentaries of mostly all of the kings of Israel, and especially of Judah, is that they did not do what was right in the Lord's eyesight. In fact, this issue of not doing what was right in the Lord's eyesight started in the wilderness when the children of Israel began complaining and murmuring and rebelling against Moses, and part of the issue that was going on with them, and sadly what's part of the issue that's going on with the church today, is that they weren't just rebelling and complaining and murmuring against Moses. They, in fact, were murmuring and complaining and rebelling against God himself. Along comes Jehoshaphat, and he is the one who is given this word, you have done what's right in the eyesight of the Lord. It's kind of interesting. Give you some context on Jehoshaphat. And I want you to open up there. I'm just going to preach the whole chapter. So I don't have a specific verse, but we're just going to look through the whole chapter and see what God has to say for us there. But Jehoshaphat comes along. He's the son of Asa. And Asa was one of those kings as well that had done right in the eyesight of the Lord, but not all the way. And Jehoshaphat comes along, and Jehoshaphat is trying to lead the people back to the Lord. And he goes around, and some of the things it says that he does, he sets in order. He says in chapter 19, verses 4, it says, and Jehoshaphat brought them back to the Lord, to the God of their ancestors. And down in chapter 9, it says, he commanded them, saying, fear the Lord with integrity and wholeheartedly. You are to do all of the following, and that is the following graciously and lovingly of God's law. And Jehoshaphat set things and people and the Levites in order. And the Bible says this, if you look now at chapter 20, verse 1, it says, after all of this, after Jehoshaphat had been setting things right, and he had traveled around all of Israel, and he got to meet the people, and he was setting the word of the God straight back in their lives. And it says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. And people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. And they are already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Have you ever been in one of those situations in life? I know Kathy and I are right now. You can be going along in your life and you can try to be doing everything right in your life. You can set your house up in such a way that you are doing all that you can to serve the Lord and to walk in His ways and to do the kinds of things that God will have you to do. And along comes some situation or some people that will turn around and begin to stab you in the back. These Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meuites, it's interesting to me that, that a lot of these people that were coming to fight against Jehoshaphat were in fact cousins of the Israelites. Isn't it something how when you're trying to do right, just like when Jesus said He's preaching and teaching and healing the sick and opening blind eyes and causing lame folks to walk, that His own family came and said, "You're out of your mind. You need to come home." Isn't it funny and is it sad how in our lives it's the people who are closest to us in a very real respect will be the very ones who will come and try and fight against you. Pastor, is it okay if I take off my jacket? Do you mind? I hope y'all don't mind. I'm feeling my preach coming on. And I was telling the brothers back there in the pastor's office, you know, we've been down here in, I've been down here almost a year now. And it's so nice being in the South. But that jacket is a sports cut. And it used to fit my stomach so nicely. But after all this good Southern cooking and eating and everything, amen. I put that jacket on this morning and it just went. And I thought, oh my God, it's too late to change. But that's not the only reason I took it off. But it's just a little bit tight. But I want you all to realize that in life, that in this walk that we have, when you are doing what is right, when you are doing your best to go for what God has called you to, then there will be those disruptors that will try and get you off base. They will try and come and not only just disrupt you, but according to the text, they will come and fight against you in a way that you can't even imagine. They weren't coming just with some words. This was a great army that was assembled that came and decided they were going to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth. And isn't it sad, isn't it interesting as well that those very same people today are still deciding that Israel has no place on the face of the earth? But God, who is rich in mercy, and Jehoshaphat has decided that even though you can see this great and vast army, here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if you will seek the Lord while He will be found, God will show up on your behalf. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Now, I told you I'm a little bit charismatic. Now, it's obvious I'm African-American, right? Now, when I say amen, or I stamp my hand like that, y'all say amen, okay? Amen? Now we're cooking. Now we're cooking, right? Because, you see, preaching and sharing the Word of God is interactive. My classes are interactive. My preaching's interactive. God wants us to interact with Him. So as they are there, they have Jehoshaphat cause the people to take their fear and not hide, but go to the very presence of God Himself and seek His face. My brothers and sisters, if you will, in the times of your life, in the seasons of your life, when whatever is going on, seek the face of the Lord. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where you don't understand what's going on and you want to understand it? If you want to understand what you don't understand, go seek the face of the Lord. Go seek His face. And Jehoshaphat goes on to say that he calls all the people together and they assemble in the temple. They all assemble there, and while they are there, they are seeking and praising and preaching and causing God to hear about his goodness in their lives. It's the same thing we need to do today. We need to, whenever something is going on in our lives, in our church, in our society, the people of God who are called by his name ought to humble themselves and seek his face and pray. Too many times, the church has sought its solace and its comfort and its strength in political affiliation. I think one of the problems with the church in America today is that we have split down the middle and followed not after the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we have followed after political affiliation and political parties. Amen. You know, as I think about it, the predominantly evangelical church sides with the political right. The predominantly liberal church sides with the Democratic Party. One thing I've noticed, that even though Jesus, when he was here, he rode a donkey, but it doesn't matter what Jesus rode when he was here. He rode a donkey, but he didn't ride an elephant. But you know what? Here's the thing, right? It's funny. But the sad reality is that we have placed stakes in those sides that have eternal ramifications to them. You see, I think God is looking for not those who affiliate with the donkey or the elephant. God is looking for those who have set their hearts and their hope on his coming, and when he's riding a white horse, not one of those other animals. I'm looking for the day. I can't wait to see the eastern sky burst wide open, brighter than the shining of the sun, and he who has redemption riding on a white horse, calling my name. And all of us who have this hope in us perfect ourselves. I don't care about all these religious affiliations. I don't care about all this other stuff. What we all need to be looking for is the Lord God Almighty, who's coming back. He's looking for a church that he has prepared that neither has spot nor wrinkle. God is the one who is preparing us. God is the one, according to Ephesians, that has set us to be holy and blameless. And that's what God is looking for. But if we will seek him in a very real respect, just like Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah at that time sought the Lord and gathered themselves together, we ought to do a little fasting and praying sometimes so that we can really kind of get all this other stuff out of us, that we can hear from and see the Lord. Because one of the other things that it says here as we traverse through this text, it says that after all of this, they set their eyes on the Lord. My brothers and sisters, it is time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this great country that we live in, we need to set our eyes on the Lord. Amen. The other thing that I find in this text is so vitally important is that they gather together, that in the gathering together, that they would experience the very presence of God himself. And that's exactly what happened. Jehoshaphat assembles the people. They begin calling on the name of the Lord, and the God of their ancestors begins to answer them. Goes on to say that as they are there, gathered together with the Lord and seeking his face and seeking after him, that one of them rose up and he said, you don't have to fight this battle. You see, there are battles that are coming against us right now. And God says, if you will seek me, if you will come after me, if you will align yourself with my heart, my life, my provision for you, the battle is not yours, but it is God's. My brothers and sisters, the battles of our lives are not on either side of a political aisle. The battles that are ours belong to the Lord, particularly when we line up our hearts and minds with him in his word. The other thing that happens when God's people begin to line themselves up with the word of the Lord and God shows up on their behalf, the Bible in chapter 20, verse 18 says this: then Jehoshaphat knelt down with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. My brothers and sisters, what would happen if all the people of God would humble their hearts and fall down, face down, and worship God? I'm telling you that we have a covenant better than that they had, because our covenant is based on the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's going to show up. God's going to show up. And all these issues that are in our lives, in our country today, God will deal with them. God will deal with them. It hurts my heart to know and to see. I understand the divisions in American society. It's secular. It's not expected to live and walk and talk as one who has been met by the risen Savior. But in the church, there's divisions. There's factions. I thank God that what's happening here, God is beginning to speak to. See, the history of First Baptist Church is not a secret. And I'm so glad to say and see that there are folks of color in here. Somebody else say amen.
Amen.
Because God wants us, his body. You know what the word says? Do you know the throngs of people that are going to be praising God from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation? And that's what we are to be practicing right now? Thank you. Amen. God wants a revival of the Spirit of the living God right here. Right here, right in this terra firma, right here. But it's only going to happen because everybody's laying down their agendas. They're laying down their preferences. They're laying down all the things of the past and saying, God, like Paul says, I count all that loss. One thing I do, I seek and I press for the high mark and the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. My brothers and sisters, when we as a family and a people of God start doing that kind of thing, I'm telling you, there's not enough room in this building to hold the souls that God will bring in here. Come on now, everybody say amen on that one. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to help you understand. But you see, for us to get where God wants us to go, we have got to be willing to go through the attacks. We've got to be willing to face all those who will come and say every manner of evil about you. But I don't care what people say. I don't care about all those things. I'm going to fall on my knees and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to let that revival begin with me. You know what will start to happen? As it says in the word there, after they fell on their faces and they worshiped God, and some of the Levites, the son of the Korites and the Kohathites, they got up and they began to sing. Oh, I wish my brother would just stand up and start singing and praising God, because the Bible says, amen. See, you go, see, now we're actors. We are in the school of that, so come on, stand up. And because we have this sense of God beginning to do something in our lives, we begin to sing.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
And everyone in the face of the temple.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me.
There was a sense of the presence of God, and others started to stand up.
Praise him above.
And there's this sense of the presence of God.
Praise Father.
And they sang loud. Come on, raise it up. Raise your voices to the Lord. A little louder. A little louder. Come on, John. I need you to go a little louder. A little louder. I need you just a little bit louder.
Just. I heard an old,
yes, old story. Come on, raise your voice to the Lord.
Came to glory. How he came in his life,
yes,
on Calvary.
And don't you sense the presence of the living God amongst us?
I heard about.
Oh, sing to the glory of God.
Of his precious blood.
His precious blood.
Atoning. Then I repented of my sin.
And won the victory.
The victory.
Oh, come on, sing it, church. Sing it, church.
Victory
in Jesus, my Savior forever. He's taught me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my God is to him. He plunged me to victory. Amen. You see, that's what happens when we fall down and worship, and God will cause a song to raise up. And all of us become Levites. All of us become those who praise God. Don't sit down yet. I ain't done with y'all just yet. I'm almost finished, I promise you. But they sang and they praised God and their voices went up. And in the process of that, in the moment of God's choosing, he set an ambush. And you know what will happen when God sets an ambush against the enemies of God and God's people and God's purposes? God will cause them to turn on themselves. Amen. God will cause them. And we'll be sitting back and look around. Look at all those smiles on your faces. We'll be doing just like that. We'll be looking around and we'll see the enemies of our souls. We'll see the enemy of racism. We'll see the enemy of sexism. We'll see all these enemies turn on themselves. Amen. We'll see the everlasting love and the great ruchamim, the great tender mercies of our God arise amongst us. Somebody say amen. To the glory of God. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, when that type of thing happens, I'm telling you, a joy will well up within your soul. It'll begin to pour out to everlasting life. And so as I conclude this message today, I just want you all to realize that God will take you through a process to bless you. Amen. But if you're not, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But seek the face of the Lord. Set your eyes upon Him. As Paul says in Colossians, set your affection, set your focus on things above, not things of the earth. It's not my guarantee, but I am assured in God's word that the very same, if not more, will happen when the people of God begin to shout, to praise, and to sing. And the thing that I think is so amazing about this word that we're sharing this morning is that when the ambush was set, the Bible says that no one was left. I'm looking for the day, my brothers and sisters, when none of the images of the isms are left. That's the work that God's called us to do. That's the work that you young men over there, that God wants you to be doing. God has set His seal of love and approval on each one of you. And I want each one of you, I'm talking to you five right there, and some of you young ladies sitting across here, that God will use you. You'll be those ones who'll start rising up and singing in confidence. And all these other folks are going to get a hold of the courage that's in your hearts. We're going to see God do a great, mighty, wonderful thing in our midst. Well, may God add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, to the doing of His word. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me be here with you all this morning. My wife and I, we just wanted to come and get you excited. Get you serious once again. And if you already are, just to kind of take it even a step further, trusting in God and believing that the glory that He has for First Baptist of Birmingham is greater than the former. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say that if there's somebody here who doesn't know the Lord, don't harden your heart any longer. Allow the very presence of Jesus to touch you. Because the Bible is real, and the Word of God is real. And when God says that if your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you will be like some of those Amorites and Moabites. But my brothers and sisters, God is here. The very presence of the Lord is here, and He wants to save you.